Today's word is from Psalm 19, verses 1 to 3 and 7 to 10 of the New International Version. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. This is the word of God.
Well, as some of you may know, every year my family and I take an RV trip. We unmoor ourselves from our everyday routine, and we put all of our essential things and a few unessential things into this 35-foot high, very high-profile vehicle, and we go off down roads that we've never traveled before to places that we've never been. A couple of years ago, we decided that we were going to go up to Gold Country, up Highway 49 in California. Has anybody ever been up that way? Yeah, it's really nice. It was beautiful. It was around January, gorgeous weather. But in the couple of days leading up to our departure, you know, we kept running into these crazy obstacles. I mean, my son was starting to feel a little sick, which is never a good sign. A garbage truck came by, took off the side mirror of the RV. I had to go replace it. The water heater went down. I had to go search for a part for it and fix it. And then right before we were leaving, the dryer went down. I had to go find a part for that and fix that. Now, is anybody noticing a little pattern here? No. Yeah, I probably did too, but I kind of shoved it down to the back of my mind because we really, really wanted to get going on this trip. So on the afternoon, we were scheduled to go. We were late, but we just really wanted to move ahead. So we went a last check of the house and made sure everything was okay, and we all got in the RV, sat in our little spots where we always sit, you know. We're ready to go, put the key in the ignition, turn it, nothing happens. It's completely dead. Dead. Well, again, I could have seen, I guess, a pattern developing, but I kind of shoved that to the back of my mind. And instead, I just brought my van up and we jumped the RV and we took off. Got all the way to Bakersfield, you know, had dinner, everything's awesome, you know, come back, turn the key, it doesn't start. So now we figure, well, maybe we better go get a battery over at Walmart, you know, so we get AAA to come and jump us again. And I put, you know, Walmart in my little navigator. And we take off, and the lady in the phone, everybody has the lady in the phone, right? Tells us where to go, you know, get up on the freeway, get off on this off-ramp. But this is where it gets kind of weird. We get off on the off-ramp, and the lady in the phone tells us to go left when it's kind of clear that Walmart's to the right. But I always obey the lady in the phone. I don't always obey my wife when she's the navigator, but the lady in the phone has authority. So I go left, and we go way down this road. I mean, it is long, and there's a divider, you know, in the thing, so I can't turn around. So I get way down, you know, I have to make a left, and then another left into this residential area so I can kind of turn around. Well, as I'm in this quiet little residential area, I make my three-point turn. I come around. I'm going to go back out to the main road. Every system on the RV goes dead. Yes, the lights go down, the engine goes off, the power steering goes off, the power brakes go off. But here's the deal. We had just enough forward momentum that we could kind of, you know, wrestle this thing over to the side, and we parked as though it had always been our final destination. It was that neat. Now, at that point, sitting there in the dark, this disabled, you know, 3-ton behemoth, you know, I finally let those thoughts that had been in my mind kind of come to the fore, and I gave them voice, and I said, you know, it seems like everything is broken. I wonder if God is trying to tell me something. Have you ever been there? You wonder if God's trying to tell you something, right? Well, my son says, you know, Dad, I think maybe God's trying to tell us to slow down and listen. And I thought, good boy, you know, it's pretty good. But I really took it to heart, and I kind of pondered that as my son and I took that dead battery, and we walked the 1.5 miles back to the AutoZone. The AutoZone that happened to be on this street that we had made the wrong turn down. And I kept pondering that as we went into this AutoZone, and there was the most awesome guy there. He was like an angel. He told us, you know, why the battery that was in there was not really right for that vehicle in the first place. Gave us some tests that we could run, simple tests to be sure there wasn't something more serious going on. He tested the battery and showed us how it was bulging out on one side because it was so overheated and it was about to explode. It had about 3-4 more miles before it would have exploded, okay? I pondered all of that as we went back and put the battery in, found a safe place to stay, and then said our prayers that night, praying thanksgiving that we hadn't been hurtling up Highway 99 at 70 miles an hour when everything went dead. That for some reason we'd taken this wrong turn that turned out to be so right. And at that moment, you know, I really was feeling like I'd finally slowed down a little bit and was listening and had a real renewed connection to God. See, God speaks to us. God speaks to us. He speaks to us all the time. He speaks to us in all kinds of ways. The scripture says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. God speaks to us in nature. He speaks to us in those nagging thoughts that we can't quite get rid of. He speaks to us in our dreams. He speaks to us in our circumstances. He speaks to us in the people that he brings into our lives. He speaks to us also in the Bible, right? In those stories of all those people who have had their thoughts and their experiences with God too. God speaks to us. And the more that we can slow down and listen to him, the deeper kind of relationship we can come into with him, the stronger those connections can be with him when we slow down and we listen. Well, with all that in mind, you know, we continued on our little trip up the Route 49 there. It follows the American River, which is where they discovered gold in 1848, inspiring this huge mass migration of people into California. And that was part of our, you know, our objective on this trip was to really rediscover that history, going through those little tiny towns, those old historic mining towns on that route. And there were light poles in at least one of those little towns that were shorn of their Christmas decorations as testimony to the fact that we had come through their town. But another objective that we had on this trip was to find some way to get into the water with gold pans and pan for gold. That was the thing. We were going to pan for gold. So it was with that in mind that we went into Angels Camp, which is a little town up in the on the route there. And we pulled into the first space that we could find that was big enough for the RV. And it was right in front of Michael Darby's Gold Pan Tours. Perfect. So we walk in, you know, we go up on the little wooden sidewalks like they have over there. And we walked in, and it was a fascinating little shop. It was an old building of rough-hewn kind of rock. And everywhere that you looked, there were gold pans. You know, those big brass pans that they used to pan for gold. And in the center of each one was a beautiful enamel painting. Everyone was painted. And it turns out Michael Darby was the artist. And I thought, why in the world would somebody take up painting the centers of gold pans? What is this? So I asked him, how is it that you came to be here? And you know, he was reluctant to tell me the story. But I pressed him a little more, and then I revealed that I was a pastor, and then he opened up. He lowered his voice, and he said, well, the reason I do this is I had a dream. I said, oh, tell me more. He said, well, back when he had been an interior designer and a carpenter some years before, he happened to have a dream where he walked into a room. And in the room, there was a man painting the center of gold pans. And he said, as he walked in this room in his dream, he knew that that man was Jesus. Well, he kind of just put that to the back of his mind. He kind of forgot about that because it's kind of a crazy dream. Why would Jesus be doing gold pans? You know, what is that anyway? Until about 4 months later, he went and he was visiting a friend in another town, and they went to a church. And in the church, there was this guy, and he stood up and he was praying. He was praying out loud, and he said that he was praying about the California's gold heritage and all those kinds of things. But then he got down to saying how God's will is revealed and that people are moved to do God's will, and God is always surrounding people and showing them which way to go. And then he turned around and he pointed right at Michael Darby, who is a visitor in this church. But he said, this message, mister, is for you. And Michael was like, whoa. But he said, as that happened to him, as this man turned and pointed to him, this dream came rushing back. And he thought, he just knew that God was leading him to do this crazy thing, paint enamel paintings on the bottom of gold pans. He'd never thought such a thing. He never did such a thing. But he went back home. He began to do that. And pretty soon he had so many of them, and people wanted so many of them, that he needed a little shop. And he went to rent one. And he walked into the spot where we were, the place where we were. And he said as soon as he had walked in there, he realized it was the place in his dream. What are you going to do with that, right? God speaks to us. God spoke to him in this crazy dream, in this crazy way. Gave him a big idea, an idea that he would never have come up with on his own. And God speaks to you and to me that way too. He speaks to us in all kinds of ways. And sometimes he gives us new and big ideas that he wants us to pursue. And he speaks to us so often in just the everyday things that are around us, the everyday moments, if we're paying attention. And we see that in the Bible, right? When God first spoke to Moses, he wasn't Moses yet. He was a shepherd out in the wilderness. And God spoke to him through what was around him. He came to him in a bush. There were lots of bushes around. God came in a bush that appeared to be burning. God came to David. We talked about David last week. God spoke to David through circumstances, orchestrated circumstances around David to single him out as the next leader of Israel. God spoke to those shepherds up on the hills above Bethlehem, around their fires at that night, staring into the night sky the way they'd always stared into the night sky for generations. But on one night, that night sky was alive with angels. And God spoke to them of his son being born, his Son, our Savior. God speaks. Of course, the lesson there is if you really want to hear from God, become a shepherd. But God speaks to us. He speaks to us in all the things that are around us, if we're paying attention. Now look, people will say, hey, aren't you just reading God into everything? Aren't you just reading God into your circumstances and reading God into the people that you meet and reading God into your thoughts and your dreams? And the answer to that is kind of, yeah, we kind of are. And we kind of should if we really take our faith seriously. Because listen, if we really believe, if we really believe that God is personal and relational and wants a relationship with each one of us, and if we really believe, as Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit is always around us and leading us to truth, and if we really believe that God created everything and has authority over everything, then doesn't it stand to reason that God would use everything to communicate with us, to get a hold of us, to grab a hold of us, to establish that relationship with Him? And the more that we listen and look for how He's communicating to us in everything around us, the deeper that relationship comes, the more solid that connection. Now, we may not always like what God is telling us through our circumstances or through our thoughts and through our dreams. Just the way I didn't like what He was telling me probably before we took off on our trip. But if we trust Him, we can know that whatever He is telling us is for our good. Is for our good. It can only lead us into deeper relationship with Him and can only help us to discover His will for us. Well, our final day on this trip, we spent up in Coloma, California, which is where Sutter's Mill is on the American River, which was the epicenter of the gold rush. We found this awesome campground where we could just back the RV right up onto the banks of the river and just walk right down, wade right in with our gold pan and start to look for gold. Now, Michael, the Jesus dreamer, he had told us that when those first miners came, you could see gold just shimmering in the riverbed. You could pluck it out, they said. But that's not the way it was anymore. Now, if you wanted to find gold, you had to take your pan and dig out a big hunk of the river bottom and throw away the stones and separate out the loose gravel and get down to the clay sediment where gold would settle. And then patiently and persistently, you wash away the grains of that clay sediment. You'd wash it all away. And if you're skilled, and if you take your time, in the bottom of your pan at the end will be those heavier, shining, unbreakable flecks of gold. Well, my family, we stood out there, you know, for a long time doing that, and the sun was on our face, and it was really a beautiful day, and it really did feel like God was just really all around us, and kind of enjoying that we were there standing in the water with this running by, you know. But as we were doing it, it made me think just how very much like panning for gold is our communication with God, our finding how He's speaking to us. Our lives, you know, they're fast. Our life wants to kind of rush us along, kind of wants to move us along in its current. We have to stand against that if we want to hear God speak. We have to throw out those big stones. We have to throw out the stones sometimes of our busyness. We have to take the loose gravel of our doubt and throw it out and work and mine that clay sediment which is our lives, which is our thoughts, which is our dreams, which is our circumstances. And work it to find those specks of gold, what God wants us to know. His words like gold, like more precious than pure gold. Imagine what a shift could come into our lives if every day we're really looking at our dreams and our circumstances and the people that come into our lives and really looking to see what God's trying to tell us. Imagine if we're looking forward to hearing from God every single day, how we might get up in the morning in a little different way. Imagine the things that God might tell us. If we're looking, if we're listening, if we believe, and if we expect that God really speaks, that God really speaks. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are your children. We are mortal. We have lots of barriers. We have lots of obstacles, Lord, that come up to us and that seem to exist between us and between you, between what you want us to know and what we think we ought to know or what's important. But as your faithful children, oh God, we just ask that maybe you'll soften our hearts. Help us to dream and help us to look deeply into our thoughts and help us to look around at what's occurring in our lives and interpret what you want us to know so that we might grow closer to you and we might know your will. Lord, this is our big chance. Every day is our big chance. So we ask, oh God, that you help us by your Holy Spirit to hear you, listen to you, and thereby love you even better. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well.